Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivragacharya Shota Shata Shri Shrimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Krantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Thank you, Pundarik Vidyanidhi Prabhu. I'm sorry if I was offbeat a little on the kartals. Can you hear me now? Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Good morning. Today is June 11th, and we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, Description of the Kingdom of God, verse number 43. Tasya Ravinda Nayanasya Padaravinda. Kinjal Kamishra Tulasi Makaranda Vayu. Antargatasva Vivarena Chakara Tesham. Sankshobham aksharajusham api chitta tanvo. Tasya ravinda nayanasya padaravinda. Kinjal kamishra tulasi makaranda vayu. Antargatasva vivarena chakara tesham. Sankshobham aksharajusham api chitta tanvo. Please chant. Tasyaravinda nayanasya padaravinda. Kinjal kamishra tulasi makaranda vayu. Antargatasva vivarena chakara tesham. Sankshobham aksharajusham api chitta tanvo. Ravinda Nayanasya Padaravinda. Kinjal Kamishra Tulasi Makaranda Vayu. Tugatasva Vivarena Chakara Tesham. Sanshobhamaksharajushamapichittatando word for word, tasya, of him, aravinda nayanasya, of the lotus-eyed Lord, padaravinda, of the lotus feet, kinjalka, with the toes, mishra, mixed, tulasi, the tulasi leaves, Makaranda, fragrance, Vayu, breeze, Antagataha, entered within, Swavivarena, through their nostrils, Chakara, made, Tesham, of the Kumaras, Sankshobham, agitation for change, Aksharajusham, attached to impersonal Brahman realization. Api, even though, Chitta Tanvo, in both mind and body. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When the breeze carrying the aroma of tulasi leaves from the toes of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead entered the nostrils of those sages, they experienced a change both in the mind and in both in body and in mind, even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding. Please repeat. When the breeze carrying the aroma of tulasi leaves from the toes of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead entered the nostrils of those sages, they experienced a change both in body and in mind, even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding. Purport. It appears from this verse that the four Kumaras were impersonalists or protagonists of the philosophy of monism, becoming one with the Lord. But as soon as they saw the Lord's features, their minds changed. In other words, the impersonalist who feels transcendental pleasure in striving to become one with the Lord is defeated when he sees the beautiful transcendental features of the Lord. Because of the fragrance of his lotus feet, carried by the air and mixed with the aroma of tulasi, their minds changed. Instead of becoming one with the Supreme Lord, they thought it wise to be devotees. Becoming a servitor of the lotus feet of the Lord is better than becoming one with the Lord. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjala Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Mam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Shri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpadarubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. And I thank you all for coming to the class, for those of you who are in the temple room, for those of you who are listening online, and those of you who do listen to this class in the future on the recording. I am speaking for my own purification, so I'm humbly seeking blessings. Please forgive any mistakes or anything I may do. I am taking shelter of the Bhagavad Gita verse 10.9, where Lord Krishna says, "The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss enlightening one another and conversing about me." So this beautiful verse, the sages here referred here are the four Kumaras. And we know that the four Kumaras were created from the mind of Lord Brahma. They were the oldest living beings created by Lord Brahma, but they chose to remain as five-year-old brahmacharis. They chose this to avoid being entangled in the material world. And through their mystical powers and curiosity, they were exploring and they entered into Vaikuntha. The four Kumaris were born as Brahmavadis, and it is important to know that the distinction between Brahmavadis and Mayavadis, even though they were impersonalists, Brahmavadis are not offensive to the Lord. They choose to see the Lord in the in his Brahman feature, and that could be due to their not knowing of his personal feature or just being attracted to the Brahman feature. And when they come across devotees, they have that chance to become personalists. And we see that example in the Bhagavatam of two examples of Brahmavadis who became personalists, Srila Sukadeva Goswami and Bilva Mangala Thakur. Sukadeva Goswami was in his mother's womb for 16 years. He did not want to come out and be entangled in Maya. And when he was ready to come out, he ran right to the forest. And it was not until he heard the pastimes of Lord Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam that he had a change of heart and wanted to, and from then was more practicing devotional service and becoming personal, a devotee of Lord Krishna in a personal form, personal way. And Bilva Mangala Thakur, we know as he was a South Indian Brahmin who also took shelter of the Brahman aspect of Lord Krishna. And he was very much attached to a prostitute named Chintamani. And he went to great extents to seek her association, even to the point of risking his life. And it wasn't until she actually said to him, and she was actually like a guru in this situation, she said, you know, with that amount of determination and eagerness that you have for visiting me, if you could utilize your senses and attention and focus on pursuing the Lord, you would be a great devotee. And so it was at that turning point he went to to Vrindavan, and he was performing service to Lord Krishna. So we see that any one of our senses can easily bring us down in this material world. Unless we engage our senses in the service of Krishna, they can be deterrents. Bhagavad Gita 2.67, Lord Krishna says, "As a strong wind sweeps away a boat on the water, even one of the roaming senses on which the mind focuses can carry away a man's intelligence. Unless all of our senses are engaged in devotional service, we have every chance of falling down." And we see this example in the Shastras of, I'd like to give this example with the animals. The sense of sight is the moth that has become so attracted to the light, whether it is fire or ultraviolet light, that they fly towards the light to their destruction. The sense of smell, the honeybee becomes very intoxicated by the smell of the lotus flower and stays in that lotus flower even when during sunset the lotus flower starts closing and they actually get trapped in there, leading to their suffocation. In the sense of hearing, the example given is the deer. The deer becomes very captivated by the beautiful sound, especially of the flute. And when the hunter, the expert hunter, plays that flute or any instrument that's very captivating, the deer just stands still listening. And that is when the hunter takes advantage and unfortunately shoots the deer. Regarding the sense of taste, the example given is the fish. It is always nibbling at something in the water. It sees the dancing worm and thinks of it as another type of fish. And unfortunately, they get fooled and they bite on that bait and the hook pulls them out of the water. The sense of touch, the example is given by the male elephant that gets lured by the she elephant. The hunters train the she elephant to gently stroke the male elephant with her trunk. And this drives the bull elephant to run, fall madly after her. And she's trained to run towards a trap and turn suddenly so she doesn't go in the trap, whereas the male elephant, not knowing the opening is covered by grass, falls right into the pit. So similarly, in a material world, we can become illusioned by any one of our senses. And unless they are all engaged in devotional service, that is our protection, that if they're used in devotional service. Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 259, Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishva nivartate. Though the embodied soul may practice to restrict his senses from enjoying the sense objects, the taste for sense object remains, but one can cease from it by experiencing a higher taste. So here the four Kumaras, they didn't refrain themselves from smelling. And what was that beautiful smell, that beautiful aroma? It was the natural fragrance of the Lord's lotus feet mixed with the beautiful fragrance of tulsi leaves. And when that fragrance entered their nostrils, it created a transformation in their hearts. And this is, and by this transformation, they decided that instead of becoming one with the Lord, they wanted to become devotees of the Lord. And I wanted to share examples. We have read in the past weeks about the residents of Vaikuntha. And I wanted to read through some of these verses, expressing how they, having all their opulences and beauty, how they choose to use their senses for serving the Lord, and that higher taste, they have no taste for any other sense gratification. In the Vaikuntha planets, all the residents are similar to the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They all engage in devotional service to the Lord without desires for sense gratification. There is no occupation but the service of the Lord, and this service is not rendered with a purpose. In the Vaikuntha planets, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is full of uncontaminated mode of goodness, with no place for passion or ignorance. In the Vaikuntha planets, the land, the trees, the fruits and flowers, and the cows, everything is completely spiritual and personal. The trees in the forest are desire trees, and in every season they are filled with flowers and fruits, because everything in Vaikuntha, in the Vaikuntha planet, is spiritual and personal. There is no difference between the tree and the animal, or the animal and the man. There is nothing inanimate. The trees, the ground, the plants, the flowers, the birds and beasts are all on the level of Krishna consciousness. In the Vaikuntha planets, the inhabitants, in their airplanes, accompanied by their wives and consorts, eternally sing of the character and activities of the Lord, which are always devoid of all inauspicious qualities. While singing the glories of the Lord, they deride even the presence of blossoming Madhavi flowers, which are fragrant and laden with honey. When the king of the bees hums in a high pitch, singing the glories of the Lord, there is a temporary lull in the noise of the pigeon, the cuckoo, the crane, the chakravaka, the swan, the parrot, the partridge, and the peacock. Such transcendental birds stop their own singing simply to hear the glories of the Lord. They prefer to hear the vibration of the glories of the Lord from the bees. The principles of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting, are very prominent in the Vaikuntha world. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha travel in airplanes made of lapis lazuli, emerald and gold, although crowded by their consorts, who have large hips and beautiful smiling faces. They cannot be stimulated to passion by their mirth and beautiful charms. They have a better standard of pleasure, so there is no need for sex pleasure. The ladies in Vaikuntha planets are as beautiful as the goddess of fortune herself. Such transcendentally beautiful ladies, their hands playing with lotuses and their leg bangles tinkling, are sometimes seen sweeping the marble walls, which are bedecked at intervals with golden borders. In the Vaikuntha planets, the houses are made of marble. The ground is made of touchstone. Thus, there is no need to sweep the stone in Vaikuntha, for there's hardly any dust on it. But still, in order to satisfy the Lord, the ladies there always engage in dusting the marble walls, because they are eager to achieve the grace of the Lord by doing so. Although flowering plants are full of transcendental fragrance, they are still conscious of the austerities performed by Tulasi, for Tulasi is given special preference by the Lord, who garlands himself with Tulsi leaves. Even the birds and flowers are conscious of their service to the Lord. So we can see from these examples that even though the inhabitants are beautifully decorated, they're beautiful in features, they could have every reason to be agitated by sense gratification, but they've achieved a higher taste. They've achieved through their sense, through their service to the Lord, they do not even think about anything in regards to sense gratification. And we can see in this material world how we can be lured at any moment through anything, the billboards, anything that comes in our vision, from our diets. So many things can bring us, lure our senses. But by Srila Prabhupada's formula of serving in the temple, eating prasad, hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord, associating with devotees, we can overcome this. I also wanted to express the powerful blessings of Tulsi Devi. She is a pure devotee. She's a manifestation of Vrinda Devi. And Vrinda Devi is a transcendental personality who arranges all the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. In the earthly realm, Vrinda Devi takes the form of the sacred Tulsi plant. She's very dear to Krishna and can give one bhakti. So there's some beautiful quotes from Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatan Goswami, Mukunda Mala Stotra, and the Skanda Purana that glorify Tulasi Devi. And His Holiness Indradyumna Maharaj speaks about them in his series of Stimulation for Ecstatic Love. And I'd like to recite them. The Charanamrit of the Shaligram Shila is full of fragrance because it contains Tulasi Devi's leaves. Those who drink it will no longer experience birth in this material world and will never have to drink another mother's breast milk. The liquor distilled from Lord Govinda's lotus feet is most amazing. One who drinks that liquor becomes free from intoxication, whereas one who refrains from drinking it becomes intoxicated by a material illusion. Just by looking at you, Tulasi Devi, all sins become removed. Just by touching you, one's body becomes pure. By praying to you, all diseases practically become removed. If one waters you or makes you wet, the fear of Lord Yamaraj is destroyed. By planting or transplanting you, one comes closer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If someone offers your leaves to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, you award that person liberation as well as loving devotion to Lord Krishna. And I also wanted to share some pastimes from the scriptures where Tulsi Maharani has played an important role. Advaita Acharya called for the Supreme Lord to descend by worshipping him in the Shaligram Shila form and by worshipping him with Tulasi leaves and Ganges water. And this way he attracted Lord Krishna to descend as Lord Chaitanya. Haridas Thakur delivered a prostitute by having her chant the holy names and worship Tulsi Maharani. She soon became an elevated devotee from this service. Bhaktivinod Thakur saw a shining light coming from the Tulsi forest near his home. And later that was revealed to be the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. Pishima, Srila Prabhupada's sister, cured her son from cholera by giving him the charanamrit from the Lord, mixed with tulsi leaves. And as we heard earlier, Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur's sons had a chronic disease and his health was not improving, and the doctors could not help. So Srila Jagannath Das Babaji asked the boy to take tulsi from his Thakurji's bowl of prasadam and then to roll in the dust of the yoga peeth. Bhaktivinod Thakur made his son do these two things. And by the evening, the boy started feeling better. So Tulsi Maharani, she's very, very personal. I wanted to share a real quick experience I had with her one time. I make simple tulsi necklaces for my boys. And during the soccer season, they are not allowed to wear any jewelry. So they have to take even their tulsi necklaces off when they're playing at a safety hazard for the necklace not to get caught onto anything. So my older son happened to put his necklace in his backpack. And as sometimes children do, they don't close the backpack fully. And as he was walking, the tulsi necklace fell out in the soccer field. So when he came home, he said, "Mother, Mom, I lost my tulsi necklace." And at first I thought, oh, I have to make this all over again. But then I thought, that's not a real good attitude. And I was thinking, if this necklace was made of gold or diamond, I would be running out there to find it. And we know Tulsi necklace, she's so powerful, Tulsi Devi. This necklace protects us from the Yamarajas. So it's even more powerful than diamond or gold. So I told my husband, we need to go and look for the necklace. So the next morning we did look in the soccer field and I thought, this huge field, where am I going to find this necklace? And I was chanting on my tulsi beads and praying to Tulsi Devi to please let me find this necklace. But I was praying and somehow this vision of what if she's broken in pieces or some dog stepped on her or some child ripped the necklace out of curiosity or... these thoughts came and I was chanting more intensely and praying to Tulsi Devi, if I'm to find this necklace, please don't let me find all mashed and crumbled. And as soon as I finished my prayer and I looked to my left, there was my son's Tulsi necklace in one piece on the ground. And she's so merciful. She's very attentive to our prayers and I just very grateful. We have so many... personalities we can pray to, and Tulsi Devi is very, very special. You would like to share a story about Tulsi? Okay. I'd like to, sure, please do. Okay. I just have a little bit more to speak about Shyamananda the Pandit, because it's his disappearance, and then after that, please, I'll give you the microphone. Thank you. So today is Jamananda Pandit's disappearance day. And he was born in 1535 in a village in West Bengal. His father was Krishna Mandal and his mother was Sri Dharika. His parents were very pious people with impeccable character. Now all of their children died in childbirth. So they named him Duki. And they named him Duki because they were in the hopes that Yamaraj would just pass over him and not come to take him. His name meant sadness. And because he was the sad one, they were hoping he would stay with them. Duki learned very subject matters very quickly. He was very eager and attentive to hearing the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. He also understood the importance of taking diksha, and he was very attracted to hearing from Sri Hriday Chaitanya, who lived at Ambika Kalna. So in 1553, at 18 years of age, during Falguni Purnima, he took initiation and received the name Duki Krishna Das. After serving Hridaya Chaitanya for some time, he was qualified to go to Vrindavan to study under Jiva Goswami. So he was serving Jiva Goswami for some time and he received this transcendentally menial service of sweeping the sacred place of Seva Kunj every morning. He was performing Dham Seva. And while performing this service, his meditation was, this is the same dust that once touched the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and the gopis. He was crying out of appreciation for his service. And stream of tears would muddy the earth. His service to the dust and to the Dham endeared him to Srimati Radharani, and she gave him her special mercy. So under a full moon night, Lord Krishna was dancing with the gopis, and the dancing became ecstatic. Radharani's left anklet, called Manju Gosha, a golden anklet studded with sapphires, slipped off of her lotus foot and fell into the dancing arena, and no one noticed this. So the next morning, Radha and Krishna and the gopis, they went to their respective residences, and Duki Krishnadas came to clean the kunj. He noticed that the parrots, that the cuckoos, the black bees were singing and humming with a little more enthusiasm than usual. And he noticed that there were more jasmines and more fragrant flowers scattered all over. So out of his extreme gratitude for his service, he rolled in the dust of Seva Kunj, crying with tears of happiness. When he got up started to sweep, he saw a glitter coming from underneath a pomegranate tree. And as he got closer, he saw a golden radiance coming out to lighten up the whole grove. And he saw there was a golden anklet studded with sapphires that was buried in the dust. So using his iron spade, he gently lifted the buried anklet. And when that spade touched that anklet, it became 24 karat gold. So when Duki Krishna held that anklet in his hand, he felt the currents of divine ecstasy go throughout his body and mind. And he heard a divine voice in the sky saying, keep this anklet very carefully. So he understood that this anklet was not ordinary and that it belonged to somebody extraordinary. So he tied it to his cloth and he kept it safe. Meanwhile, Srimati Radharani, after realizing that one of her favorite ankles was missing, asked Lalita Sakhi to go to Seva Kunj to retrieve the anklet. So Lalita came to Duki Krishna disguised as a village girl. She introduced herself as Radha Dasi, coming from a town, a village of Yavat, saying that her sister had collected flowers the night before, and after hearing a tiger roaring, she ran away, not noticing that her anklet had slipped off. Lalita asked Duki Krishna if he found the anklet. He said, yes, I found it, but he was sensing that Lalita Sakhi was not an ordinary village girl. And he thought she was hiding her identity, so he said to her, I'm not going to give you the anklet. And he questioned her, you say that you and your sister are villagers, but how could you afford such a costly item? Lalita Sakhi said, we may be villagers, but we are not poor. Please give me the anklet. So Dukhi Krishna told Lalita if he wanted to see for himself if her sister was actually wealthy. If this was the case, he would then give her the anklet personally. Now Lalita Sakhi was getting impatient and she realized that Srimati Radharani is waiting for this anklet. She also saw that Dukhi Krishna was not an ordinary soul and she did not want to offend him. So she took him to Lalita Kund and she asked him to bathe there. And he asked, why should I bathe there if I'm only visiting a village girl? So then Lalita Sakhi revealed her beautiful form as Lalita Sakhi and Dukhi Krishna fainted upon seeing this beautiful form. She revived him by touching him with her lotus hand on his head and gave him special mercy and qualification for meeting with Srimati Radharani. She gave him the Radharani mantra, which has 15 syllables and 6 opulences. She initiated him into that mantra and again asked him to bathe into Lalita Kund, and this time he agreed immediately. He submerged himself inside the lake. He went in as Dukhi Krishna, as a brahmachari, and came out as a beautiful 12-year-old Braja Gopi, complete with dress and ornaments. Then they both entered the unmanifest eternal feature of Vrindavan. Lalita Sakhi took this new gopi to a grove where Srimati Radharani was on a throne. Next to Srimati Radharani was Vishakha Sakhi. And upon seeing this gopi, Dukhi Krishnadas, looking as splendid as gold, she said, oh, Kanaka Manjari, welcome home. So Dukhi Krishnadas, as Kanaka Manjari, fainted upon the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani after seeing her beautiful face. When he woke up, Lalita Sakhi said, here is my sister. You wanted to know if she could be the rightful owner of the anklet. What do you think? Dukhi Krishnadas gazed at Srimati Radharani, gazed at the gopis, he gazed at the kunj, and he became so overwhelmed. He was unable to speak, and he was trying to give the anklet back to Srimati Radharani. She pulled him towards her and gratefully accepted the ornament. And then she said, I am very pleased with your devotion and with the service that you have rendered by sweeping the kunj. I want to bless you through the anklet that you have brought back to me. Then she pressed the anklet to Dukhi Krishna Das's forehead, leaving a mark that had the shape of her lotus feet, but in the size of a tilak mark. Then Srimati Radharani mixed sandalwood paste, honey, camphor, and saffron and rubbed the mixture onto a moonstone. And using part of the anklet, she affectionately made a resplendent dot in the middle of the new tilak on Dukhi Krishna's forehead. Lalita Sakhi gave a name to that tilak, Shyam Mohan. She said, from today on, your name will be Shyamananda, one who gives bliss to Srimati Radharani. She said, continue with your service and one day you will be able to come live with me forever. And as she said that, the new name Shyamananda was inscribed on his chest permanently. Srimati Radharani then asked that he return to the mortal world and share his good fortune with others. Dukhi Krishna started to cry uncontrollably due to separation from her. He cried, please don't send me back to the material world. Srimati Radharani's heart melted, and to relieve him of his distress, she manifested from her heart a beautiful deity of Lord Shyamasundar. She gave this deity to Lalita Sakhi and asked her to give it this deity to Shyamasundar. Shyamananda. Srimati Radharani said, my dear Shyamananda, as long as you live in this mortal world, keep yourself engaged in the loving service and worship of this deity. In this way, you will not suffer in separation from me. After that, you will come back to my eternal service in eternal abode. And then she gave 12 blessings to whoever serves this Shyamasundar deity. And I will recite those blessings. After this, Shyamananda bowed down to Srimati Radharani
And when he got up, he was back in the material world, back at the garden of Sevakunj. When he saw his reflection, he had a golden aura to him, and his Shyam Mohan Tilak was still there, and on his chest was written Shyamananda. So there's more to this pastime, but I will stop there because I would like to recite the 12 blessings that are so powerful from Srimati Radharani. So this is towards the deity of Shyamananda Pandit, this deity of Shyamasundar. So, one, whoever has darshan of this deity of Shyamasundar even once with devotion will obtain prema bhakti and go to the abode of Krishna never to be born again. Misfortune, poverty, and hideous sins shall not enter his home. Two, whoever has a regular darshan of this deity will go to the divine abode of Sri Krishna accompanied by 10 past and 10 future generations. In this world, accompanied by sons, grandsons, and other relatives, they will enjoy life in happiness, wealth, and opulence desired even by the demigods. They will move around fearless from the threefold miseries. Three, whoever regularly cleanses the temple of Sri Shyamasundar shall go to the heavenly planets and after enjoying all the pleasures there, will go to the abode of Sri Krishna as one of his attendants and obtain the bliss of his service. If one regularly smears the temple with cow dung after cleansing it, the relatives of their mother, their father, and spouse will never go to hell. Four, any pious person who places a flag on top of the temple of Shyamasundar and decorates it with banners will become freed from all sins committed since birth. Five, a fortunate great soul who regularly worships the deity will obtain the power to deliver the whole world. All his desires will be fulfilled. Six, a fortunate person who gives new garments to this deity shall reside on the moon planet and then attain bliss in the abode of Lord Hari. They shall become wealthy, fortunate, disease-free, and attractive. They shall obtain fruits from performing the Ashwamedha and Rajasuya sacrifices and then eternally live in the abode of Lord Hari. Seven, a rich person who offers precious ornaments studded with pearls and gems to the deity of Sri Shyamasundar shall become the emperor of the whole earth, destroyer of the enemies, free from all sins, dear to the ladies, and supremely fortunate. After obtaining the fruits of having performed the Ashwamedha and Rajasuya yagyas, he will eternally live in the abode of Lord Hari. If one, with full of devotion, has even once the full darshan of Shyamasundar, adorned in golden ornaments, then all his relatives, going back 7 generations, will be delivered. Eight, a pious person who offers the deity flower ornaments, an umbrella made of flowers, a pavilion made of flowers, and a bed made of flowers, shall obtain the best objects of enjoyment, amusement, and pleasure, and at the end shall go back to the eternal abode of Shyamasundar. Nine, a fortunate person who offers first-class foodstuffs and beverages to this deity will have all their wishes fulfilled. They will become long-lived, rich, powerful, attractive, handsome, free from worry and diseases. They will obtain the fruits of various fire sacrifices and at the end go back home, back to Godhead. 10. Whoever circumambulates the temple of Shyamasundar 4 times with a heart full of devotion will obtain the fruits of having circumambulated the whole universe, having visited all the holy places and having bathed in all of them. They will become free from all sins and attain the fruits of having performed 10 Ashwamedha yagyas, and at the end, they will be carried by a swan to Lord Krishna's eternal abode. They will never be born again, and all their good wishes will be fulfilled. 11. A fortunate person who has the darshan of Sri Shyamasundar during the Aartik shall obtain the fruits of all worship, mantras, and rituals previously performed, even if these were given up by the devotee before. Millions of sins committed shall be destroyed, and at the end they shall attain the supreme abode of Krishna. And 12. A fortunate person who constructs, renovates, or cleanses the temple of Shyamasundar, tens of thousands of past and future generations of their family will all go to the abode of Lord Krishna. All the sins committed by them will be burned to ashes, and they shall very soon obtain the bliss of serving Lord Krishna. So again, the verse, when the breeze carrying the aroma of tulsi leaves from the toes of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead entered the nostrils of those sages, they experienced a change both in the body and in the mind, even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding. Thank you, and I invite if anyone wants to share any realizations, comments, questions.
Jai, thank you. In Vancouver, we have a house, Tulsi House, which has been built by Mother Rudrani and her husband, a doctor, a Ayurvedic doctor. They passed away. But the way she passed away is all over. There's been the news everywhere. She was a handicapped, deformed lady, Srila Prabhupada's disciple. She got deformed in Sankirtan because she had a car accident. And she couldn't, you know, recover. And it was a very, very painful situation. The whole body was deformed. So she's been cared by her husband, a very expert Ayurvedic doctor, who they have such a devotion for Tulsi. They built a very big house, and they care totally. Like, so because before it was not Tulsi available much, it's a very cold climate. And so thanks to them, we have even established a big festival every year, the Tulsi festival, right? So when she passed, before she passed away, she was very ill, and they transported to the hospital because she was at the end of her life, total. And it was being carried by Mother Santa. She was a nurse, Indian lady. She was living with them. And it was nighttime. We visited the night before, me and my husband, to pay our bills since we knew she's leaving. And so the night, maybe 11, 12 o'clock, I don't know what time, because I told her the news in the morning, she was like very agitated. And she says, okay, I said to her servant, Here she's coming, Tulsi Maharani. I have to go now. Left her body. It's very true. They announced it all over this good news because she was...
Thank you for sharing that. It's beautiful.
Rudrani. This is the sister of Mother Pandyavali.
The Guru Prasad.
Oh, thank you for your class. So inspiring. I could listen all day. This morning I was in the pujari room, and Divyanga came in. One devotee was washing the plates or something. And he said, Prabhu, I noticed you don't have any neck beard. It must have been broken last couple of days. He said, Prabhupada said, if you know the importance of wearing neck beads, you will never, ever go without them. So get one as soon as possible. When I heard that, I thought,
so, thank you for reminding us. Yeah. Thank you.
A question, clarification. You stated that if one takes Charinamrita, he will never have to drink milk from another mother's breasts. Does that have to be Charinamrita mixed with... all Charinamrita, we can assume, has been mixed with Tulsi.
Yes.
Anyway, even if it's not there in the container. Okay.
That's my understanding. Yeah. Marimati?
I was thinking that... by the way, thank you so much for your class. Thank you. And as you were telling the story about the Tulsi necklace, Nimai lost it and he found it, I was thinking that how Vrishana Maharaj, when he comes to your place, he brings his Vrinda Deity, and you know, you get so much special mercy. You have served her at different times, you know, and I was thinking it must be, and here you are giving a class on this famous verse about Tulsi Devi, and I was thinking, oh, must be something very special that for you to give a class like that and, you know, serving Tulsi Devi and Vrinda Devi in that way. So you have some nice realizations.
One thing I was thinking when I was studying this verse is the prayers of Tulsi Devi and that she's so accessible to all of us. And we should take advantage of doing some service. Our neck beads, our japa beads, she's very, very merciful and accessible.
I don't mean to dominate. I just heard this story. Namamrita is reading stories of Lord Jagannath or something at night. And in Mayapur, there was one pujari. Huh?
If you can bring it closer to your mouth.
Oh. And there was one pujari, and he was taking the boga from the temple to Jagannath temple. And I guess, you know, when you go from one place, if you forget something, you have to go all the way back. And so he was setting the offering off, and he said, oh, I forgot Tulsi. And he said, as far as he was concerned, you can't make the offering without Tulsi. So he put the offering, and he said, please, Tulsi Devi, please help me out. I don't know what to do. If I go back, I'll be late, and I don't want to be late. So he said, please, somehow or other, help me. And he made the offering. And I heard when he went to take the offering off, there were big Tulsi and all the offering, big Tulsi Manjari and all the offering.
She's so merciful.
She is so merciful. Yeah, she is. I don't know which book she's reading, all these stories of Jagannath and different things, but she is very, very merciful. That's special.
Thank you. And being that it's after 9 o'clock, we will end here. Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.